Good morning and welcome back to The Hair Affair. This is your host, Christine, and I hope that you're having a beautiful Sunday morning. The birds are out chirping away, and I love to hear that sound every spring. Today, I've got something a little different for you. We are going to be hearing from a non-stylist on Stylist Sunday, and she is a physician's assistant, my physician's assistant, but she wanted to come on and talk a little bit about her experiences with social media and finding salons and a stylist that would help fit her personality and what she was looking for. So grab your coffee cup, make sure it's full, and join me in the beauty lounge. Let's get this rolling. Well, welcome back to Stylist Sunday. And with me today on Zoom, I have Bree Green. And she is, I don't know, Bree, would you call yourself like a newly moved to Sheridan? Or how would you describe that?
I would say, well, I grew up in Sheridan. I had moved to Denver in 2015. Stayed there for 7 years. Actually, I didn't think I was going to come back to Wyoming and ended up moving back after graduating from PA school just in 2022.
There you go. See, I think that's funny how when we graduate high school, because I graduated high school here as well, we always say we're never coming back. And then It's, you know, I never left, but it's been really interesting over, this is my 25th year class reunion. I can't believe that, but it's been really it's been really interesting watching all those people I graduated come back with, you know, families or whatever, because obviously priorities change and where they may have ended up is not where they exactly want to raise their family. But it's always nice to be close to other family if they still live here and to help raise those kiddos and whatnot. Yeah. So, but
yeah, I think, sorry, I think you kind of have to leave and or take a step back from things to fully get an appreciation for them at the same time. And I think that's kind of what happened to me too.
Yeah, I think so. And I've always thought, you know, well, if I have the opportunity to move, I'll move. And I almost moved to Crossville, Tennessee. And because I have extended family out that way, and they were trying to talk me into going to college out there. And I did a year at Sheridan College and was like, nope, college is not my thing. No, thank you. And so I was going to go into cosmetology school, put money down on a school in Salt Lake and Sugar House, and then ended up not going to that and went to real estate instead because It was just the difference of I had to wait. This was like in March, and I had to wait until I think it was like October before my class started in Salt Lake. And then real estate classes were in Sheridan like that August, and I was just ready to get out of what I was doing. I just could not stand working behind a desk all the time. And so yeah, I jumped into real estate for about 6 or 7 years, and then my heart is with hair, and that's where I ended up. And now here I am on a podcast with you.
That's amazing. No, it looks like it was definitely the better route for you, for sure.
Yes, definitely. I enjoy what I do so much, and just got back from another training in LA, and that was, as usual, it was amazing. I had a lot of great time there, and getting to be around my people, I guess, if you want to call it that.
Yeah.
But just swapping stories and ideas to help each other out. So that was a great time. I miss the weather, but I don't miss LA.
Yeah, no, I don't blame you. I think LA seems fun. There's a lot of opportunity in LA. I think the couple times that I've been myself, it was shocking how different it actually was as opposed to what it appeared to be.
Yeah.
And it's busy, to say the least. It's very busy.
It is very busy. I definitely agree with that. I had one conference that I needed to go to for her. It was a hair show, or it wasn't a hair show. It was a hair conference for a company I worked for. And the owner of my salon put us up in a hotel where you could walk out the back entrance and you were right there on Hollywood Boulevard. So That was quite the experience for the week. Saw a lot of things.
Yeah, I bet.
But we got to do a lot of things too, which was really nice. And it's one, but it's also like I've been there, done that. So I don't care if I ever have to go back downtown LA like that again.
Yeah,
So, but
I don't blame you, but hopefully you learned a lot too.
I did. I did. I always do. I love traveling and, but I always like coming back to Sheridan. It's nice. So
Yeah.
that's,
Yep.
I haven't moved away, but I have done a lot of traveling. 7 years in Denver. I'm sure there is quite the difference in salon styles and culture there than what you see here in Sheridan.
Yes. Yes. I came to find that pretty quickly. I think there's a lot of differences. I think the thing that initially first popped out at me when I went to Denver and I was trying to find a hairstylist was just the difference in prices. I did not know that, and this is probably just me being naive, but I didn't realize that getting your hair done could cost that much money.
It can, and it's amazing what people are willing to spend on their hair.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I know. It's definitely everything from, say, like your great clips or your sports clips or any of those more traditional, you know, you walk in, get your hair cut, and that's basically all they do and leave, to super, you know, luxurious spa type salons that are out there.
Yeah, I think the most that I had spent on one session, it was I think it was either a partial or full balayage, which obviously full balayages would be almost double the price, but I think it was like $500.
Yeah,
at a place downtown.
that's pretty steep, but I'm not surprised by that. When I get around my Redken people and they're telling me what they're charging for some things, my jaw just drops automatically. Yeah. I'm like, what? How in the world are you getting that? But yeah, they're in this, you know, being in the city, and it's just what people are willing to pay for. But I definitely choke at that price. There's no way I could do that to any of my clients. Right. I know that the economy is in fluxed some, which has caused our products and everything to go up like crazy over the last couple years. Yeah. But it doesn't justify tacking on an extra $100 or $200 onto your services.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think I actually got spoiled when I first moved to Denver, because I found a hairstylist that was originally from Wyoming, and she was incredible. But then she gave me the Wyoming discount, and I think I was really only paying around 100 to maybe 180 whenever I had seen her, and it was for a partial balayage, and she did a wonderful job. And so I think that probably is what made it so surprising to me too, because I think that was my baseline for the prices that were around there, but that was definitely not true.
Wow.
Yeah.
So they had a Wyoming price you may not know this, but was she like booth rent and she could charge what she wanted? And so she just had like Wyoming prices, or that's incredible.
Well, yeah. So she rented a booth at a couple of different locations, but her and I graduated the same year. She actually attended high school in Bighorn.
Okay.
When I was in Sheridan. So we knew each other pretty well. So it was more of just like a friend discount, I think.
Sure. Well, that's, hey, you know, wherever you can find those friends, that's great that she offered that for you. Incredible.
Exactly.
Wow. I just had, she's actually, she moved back here from Texas, but she had went to cosmetology school in Oklahoma and had been working in Oklahoma and Arkansas, Texas. She's just kind of been a little traveler here lately, but she decided to come back home to Buffalo. And she kind of called me on emergency on Friday. I had never met her before, needing her hair done for some special event this week. And so unfortunately, or fortunately, I don't know which, I booted my mom out of her appointment on Saturday and put her in place. And she was one of those where she went from dark brown to going back blonde, basically. Mm-hmm. And she's naturally a brunette. And so I told her, I was like, okay, well, you know, your appointment's a little late, so if you want to bring snacks or a drink or whatever, make sure, you know, that you come prepared. And then that's when she told me she was hairstylist herself, so she knew exactly what she was getting into. And so I was like, oh great, thank goodness somebody, you know, maybe she'll have a little better understanding of what we're doing. And so my thought going into it, I was just going to do a full, you know, balayage just to kind of start the process, save the integrity of her hair and all of this. And her hair lifted so well and it did so amazing. And when you get two hairstylists together and we both have this look in our eye, we're like, all right, we're doing this all the way tonight. So almost nine hours later, she got what she wished for. It was a long process, but
I bet.
Yeah. So simple balayage turned into something much more, but at least she had, she had it budgeted out. And, you know, coming from the city where she works, she was like, oh, I thought this was going to cost me, you know, X amount, and it wasn't near what she thought. So it, in the end, I guess it all worked for both of us. But that was fun. One thing I know that we've talked about kind of over the past year, gosh, I can't believe it's been a year already since I've met you.
Yeah.
But I think we originally were talking about how when you were searching for that stylist or a salon, you hit up social media, didn't you? Like Facebook or Instagram?
Yeah, I did. So this was actually after the hairstylist that I had told you about from Wyoming. She, I think it was the time around COVID, she kind of took a break from things. And so then I was left to, you know, find a stylist again. Yeah. And I honestly didn't even know how to go about finding people, because she was recommended by someone that did my hair here in Wyoming before I moved to Denver. So I was just like, yeah, I'll just take your recommendation and I'll go with it. And then I had met that girl. So when I was trying to find people, I was like, okay, I mean, obviously starting with social media is a good step, because then you kind of get to see their work.
Sure.
And kind of just see what kind of styles people might specialize in, assuming that, you know, a lot of the posts there were fairly accurate. And I think the first person that I came across had a lot of photos, mostly with styling some photo shoots.
Okay.
Which was really cool. I mean, there was a lot of interesting work on there, more like artsy and obviously just professional photography related. And so it's kind of hard at least to see exactly what it would look like for a color, let alone a balayage off of some of those. And I think I actually went with that because I liked the hair studio or the place and the business in Denver. The salon. And I went with her. And I think she was very new, and obviously, like some of those salon websites, they might have like a bio and give you some information on how many years someone's been doing hair and kind of what their forte is. But I think with that one, I was kind of left in the dark. So just, and I mean, it was partially my fault too, because like there were obviously probably a lot of questions I could have asked and or just called to get more information, but I took a chance on her, and that experience actually turned out quite terrible.
That's what I thought. I remember you saying, "Yeah, it was kind of a bad experience." That's too bad. Oh no!
It really was.
Did you end up getting your hair fried, or what happened?
So, yes, for lack of a better term, yes, it was fried for sure.
Yeah,
I had took I think like 2 years to kind of grow out my hair, because I had been doing some regular balayages, and then right before PA school I went with like a full balayage, and it was a little bit lighter than normal, plus I was in Albuquerque and it was dry, and so my hair was just really damaged. So I like took a solid 2 years. I'm like, I'm not gonna do my hair, I'm just gonna get regular trims, try to get it healthy again before I do another balayage. So when I went into her, I was like trying to just express my concerns, like I don't really want it lightened or lifted too much, because I do have super fine hair and it gets damaged easily.
Sure.
Especially not in the front, because those pieces are obviously the ones that see like the damage the most. And, you know, just like the hair brushing and the styling kind of takes its toll on the front pieces.
Right.
So like if anything, I want it like less. That way, if we need it to be lighter in the future, I just want to preserve integrity first and foremost.
Yes.
So we kind of discussed like what technique she was going to do. I think she decided to do, obviously, it was just a partial balayage, but then she wanted to put some baby lights towards the root as well. Just maybe in terms of being like low maintenance or letting it grow out a little bit smoother, I think was her rationale behind that.
Baby lights with the balayage?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So then, which I never actually heard of before, but I don't really know if that's a common thing or not. She, I think, like, at first, I remember when I went to this girl that I loved that was from Wyoming, she kind of walked me through some things and tried to educate here and there. She always talked about how she likes to start at the back and then work her way forward, just because, like, the longer you leave it on, the more it's going to lift and process. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I was used to that kind of technique, and I think like right out of the gate she took a piece in the front, and it was one of those fragile pieces. Yes. Along the temple.
Oh no.
And then grabbed a big chunk and just kind of like slapped it right on there, and I was like, oh my god, this is definitely gonna be falling off.
Yeah, this is not ending.
It was
well
so thick. Yeah, so then at the end of it, you know, she washed it out, blow dried, styled, and kind of turned me around so I could look in the mirror, because I was faced away from the mirror the whole time.
Oh.
And it was so chunky, and there were a lot of parts that were under processed, and so they were the light yellow color.
Sure.
And then obviously there were pieces that were that looked processed just fine and lightened up pretty good. But
probably the ones that got to sit there for an hour.
Yeah, exactly. And it wasn't like, I guess, and me being, I think maybe I had grown up thinking that, you know, always want to be kind and not be like too picky and be like, yeah, it looks great. I think that's just the way I was raised. It ended up being kind of a toxic trait, because I could have just been like, well, I do not like this right then and there. But I also know that sometimes for me, I need like a couple of days to look at it in the mirror.
Sometimes it's an adjustment. Sure.
Exactly. Look at it in different lighting, whatever it is. But no, I got home and I was like, this isn't going to fly, especially because I paid $400 or $500
sure.
for it.
Yeah.
But fortunately, somebody else in the studio or the salon had me come back, and she fixed it for me, and she did a great job.
Oh, good. I'm glad that you spoke up or said something so you could get it fixed. And that's something that I always try to, well, no, I don't try. I do tell all of my clients when I'm done with their color, whether it's either a balayage or some highlights or low light, whatever I do chemical wise, even haircut, you know, go home, style it the way you like to style it. If, you know, I did something a little different than what you normally would have done. And if it's something you don't like, or you see something, or if it's a color, just call and let me know. I've got a good backbone. You're not going to hurt my feelings. It's important for me to know that you're happy with what you paid for.
Right.
And, so I'm glad that you were able to have somebody fix that for you, because definitely if you're not satisfied, that's something that should be fixed. Cause my clients are a walking billboard with my name attached to it. And there are some that ask for wild, crazy things that I, in my mind, I'm thinking, please don't tell anybody that you came to me. I don't want my name attached to that, but as long as they're happy, that's all that matters.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense too. And I have changed my mentality about that over the last couple of years, because I understand you do what you do because you want to make people feel good about themselves. And so it only makes sense if the person doesn't like it, then obviously you're going to want to know so that you can fix it and make them happy.
Right. Yeah. And the worst thing is not that if I don't know, then I can't fix it or I can't help. And that's why it's super important just to speak up. And, and maybe not all hairstylists are, like me, who feel the same way, or they don't want to know because ignorance is bliss kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I think it's super important, just even with customer service, to be able to correct your mistakes. If, you know, mistakes aren't a bad thing. It's a learning experience, if anything. I mean,
And
I had a little oopsie doopsie the other night when I was doing this new gal that went from brunette to blonde, and I saw it and I admitted it and I showed it to her and I took a photo of it because now I'm like, oh, I can use this when I go teach a Redken class. You know, I just turned a little mistake into something and I was able to correct it. And she actually said she, when she left, she said that she had learned a few things from me. And I didn't even know I was teaching at the time to her. You know, I just was like, and I'm thinking that may have been where she had learned something from me, was how to correct the I was doing a root smudge on her, and some of the dark color got down onto the lower portion of her hair shaft and had was already oxidizing and processing into, you know, like there's big old blotch that I didn't notice because I was working on the other side of her head. And so I quickly fixed it, and I mean, you can't even tell now after I finished her up and toned her and all that good stuff. Now, is that something that was a big thing when you were in Denver or Arizona when you were having your balayages done? Was it just a raw lift, or would they lift you and then tone you out?
So typically they always lift and tone.
Okay.
She, that was the first experience I've had where she didn't tone at all. And so when I had gotten it fixed, I mean, I actually intended to go to the same person to get it fixed. And then last minute, she said she had a family emergency. So then I got on to another lady's schedule that was there who had done balayage for several years. And so she was like, she didn't tone you at all, and was very surprised with that. And I'm like, no, not at all.
Yeah.
Because I like to pay attention to that stuff just because I like to watch them anyway. But, like, I know that the balayage process is, I mean, in hair coloring and styling is, there's a lot of science behind it.
Yes.
So it's always intrigued me enough to where, like, I know what's going on in the bowl, or at least I ask, or, you know, you just know what's going on. But, yeah, no toning at all. And that was the first time that it happened. Cause,
wow.
I've always gotten it toned.
To me, that's kind of shocking, but I don't know. Everybody learns differently, or I don't know. There definitely is a lot of science behind coloring or any kind of chemical service at the salon. One of the main reasons that we don't really typically do just raw lifts anymore on people, and we do follow up with a toner, is because trying to keep that integrity of the hair, so we don't have to keep the bleach on your hair for so long and just completely disintegrate it, basically.
Yeah.
So that we can get the lift that we need and then use the science behind colors and other stuff to tone that out, to get rid of the brassiness, or to enhance, you know, whatever that undertone is showing. And it's fun too, because you can change that toner color every time you go and have your hair done. And so typically with me, with my clients, if they come in for a balayage or highlights, I only really touch their, unless their hair grows super fast, they only get a bleach session like maybe 2 or 3 times a year, instead of every single time that they come in every 6 to 6 or 8 weeks. And it just really helps save the hair and the integrity of it. And then the toner is it doesn't lift. There's no lifting to it. And so you're not doing any extra harm to the hair with that. You're just basically setting those color molecules right on your hair. And a lot of them even include extra hydrating benefits and smooths that cuticle down after it has been lifted. And that's what gives it the nice glow and the softness, and why we all love it so much.
Yeah, I can totally see that. I think in the past, I've only really had to do a balayage once every 6 months, or maybe I got away with once a year because my hair is already fairly light, and the summers usually would lighten it up pretty good. Yeah. But when I actually did go in just for some regular toning, I would say like every couple months, I think, when it was starting to look dull, I think that's really all it seemed to take too.
Yeah. Yeah, it would just need that and it'd shine you right back up and
give
you some more softness, and on your way you would go.
Exactly.
Well, that's neat. Yeah, and that's the thing too, that even I have to try to be careful with social media. I especially now have to, well, I don't have to, but it's good for me to be posting a lot more through like Instagram, especially. That seems to be the hot platform right now for hair.
Yeah.
And is trying not to use so many filters or adjusting those pictures a lot, because you want people to be able to see, at least I want people to be able to see the true color or the true, you know, how it turns out, and not taking somebody and you'll see pictures on Pinterest all over the place too, where they've taken a picture of someone and then they've adjusted it or edited the photo to where their hair looks like it has this gorgeous rose gold color to it or something like that. Mm-hmm. And it's just all filters. And I can't stand that. I want to be authentic and real and say, hey, here's my work. And I think that's a lot of what most stylists are trying to do now, is just show more of their authenticity instead of a perfect picture.
Yeah.
And so I'm hoping maybe from here on out, you'll have a better experience with that, so you don't have to run into it like that. And also you said not really doing the background check, but that, you know, I wouldn't say is necessarily your fault or anything, but I think we're all trying to be vulnerable and showing bios, I guess, like on websites or whatever. And, you know, if they say they're a master balayage or a certified in this or whatever, it, for all of our other listeners out there, it is completely okay to ask them that, because if they are, they're not going to be afraid to share with you where they went to school or how they got certified or anything like that. And if you're going to be dropping $400 or $500, you definitely want to know it's somebody who's had the training for it.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's hard. I really enjoy when hairstylists do have a lot of work posted on their Instagram page. I mean, I understand that's huge, right? Because it's your brand. Like you said, you have your clients walking around and it's basically your name out there. I think it's important to showcase your work for sure. For me, I guess it was a little bit confusing at times, you know, because obviously that's the highlight reel at the same time.
Yes.
You know, like that's, you're marketing yourself and you have to do that. That's very important. But, you know, people don't get to see the botched jobs as much.
No.
For good reason, right? But
no, they don't. And I was actually just thinking today too, I was like thinking I should probably post that picture that I took where I messed up and just be like, hey, I'm human too and I make mistakes, but it was corrected also.
Yeah.
So
that's the important part.
This is so exciting, being able to talk to somebody who's not a hairstylist, but more on the consumer side of things, because it's great to hear what your opinions are or what it is that you look for when you're, you know, trying to hire a stylist or a salon, or, you know, it's just not that, but it could be for anybody. It could be for nails. It could be for skincare. And I know people are using it a lot too to find their medical resources. And it's just crazy what social media has turned into. And when I was in school for cosmetology, they never said anything about social media, anything. Maybe I'm just that old now. I don't know.
But it's morphed very quickly.
It has. It's like a whole nother job in of itself, it seems like.
Yeah, it is.
So pop quiz question for you, since you're a sciencey girl.
Sure.
Do you know what the pH level is of a piece of hair strand?
I should, but I don't. I'm going to guess though.
Okay.
I think it's more acidic than you'd think.
You're close.
Is it? I'm going to guess around like 5 something.
Wow. Impressive. It's actually 4.5 to 5.5.
Oh, sweet. All
so
right.
You did good.
Thank you.
I just had to throw that out there for some fun.
That's very interesting.
Yep.
And there's so much science behind it. It's crazy.
There really is. And with me working for Redken, everything they do is science-based. In fact, that's how it all started with Redken. I could go into the history a little bit, but it was an actress, a budding actress, and her hairstylist that came up with the first formulation for Redken, and they basically started the brand in her bathtub because her hairstylist was also a chemist. And so together they use like mayonnaise and soy sauce and some other kind of weird concoctions, but she was having scalp issues. And because this was back in the 60s and it was the constant, you know, the blonde bombshells and all just everything that they went through with their hair and their makeup, she was developing a sensitivity. And so that's how Redken came about. And they've just continued to base everything off that science and making sure that no matter what their products do for the hair, whether it's a lightening service or just a plain old shampoo and conditioner, whatever it is, that it always brings your hair back down to that natural pH level where it wants to live, instead of just totally, you know, wigged out at the high end of, you know, the alkaline level of the pH balance and all that good stuff. So that's what I love about Redken, is the science behind it. I always loved science in school, and at one point in time I wanted to be a nurse until I realized I couldn't deal with bodily fluids that well.
So I can see that.
And especially if college was not the thing for me, then I think I picked the right kind of science and went into the right area of expertise for myself.
I totally agree. I mean, science is not going to be that interesting unless you have something that you're passionate about to apply it to.
That's right. I know. I definitely didn't know what I was getting into in school. We still had to do our anatomy and physics and chemistry and all that stuff, but not at the level, obviously, that you had to go through. But they tell us also that with the amount of information and the amount of time that we go through school, and if you choose to take that training after you graduate cosmetology school like myself, that you pretty much are equal to a nurse. But I couldn't tell you how to butterfly a cut for anything. So I don't think you want me to be your nurse.
No, that's fine. You can definitely, I mean, to be honest with you, I feel like if I'm being brutally honest, I feel like my hair is almost just as important as my physical health.
Well,
because it makes so much of a difference in your life and your day and your appearance, as vain as that might sound.
I don't think it's vain at all. I think that there's a lot of truth behind that. And I see that in my chair alone, because I can watch. I just had this happen last week also. I had this gal come in I'd never seen before. She just was a call in, and I told her I had an opening, and she came down, and her hair was almost to her butt. And she was telling me that she hadn't touched it for years, even before COVID. And then she definitely hasn't done anything with it since COVID. And she was ready to take everything off and go up to her shoulders. And so, of course, when somebody comes in and they say things like that, the first thing, you know, I want to ask them is to make sure, okay, you didn't just have a baby, did you? Or find out you're pregnant or anything like that. Because if it's a hormonal thing, I'm not taking that much hair off. Because in this moment, they might feel like it's okay, but in an hour, that might be a completely different story.
Oh, for sure.
You know, so that those are some checks that I like to do before I do anything like that. But I saw the transformation happen right in my chair. She walked in and she wasn't really, you know, walking very high or anything like that, kind of real meek and mild and quiet. And then I braided her hair and I took my clippers and I just took that first, you know, 2 foot of hair off, literally. And I finished out cutting her hair the way she wanted me to, and styled it out for her and curled it, because she hadn't had it curled in who knows how long. And when I gave her her glasses back so that she could see herself in the mirror, the smile itself just really spoke volumes. And my heart just melted, and I was like, yes, this is why I do what I do. And I believe that in everybody, like, their hair is their crown. And if their crown's not feeling good, then they're not feeling good. But if I can make that better, then, and if that improves their self-worth or their, you know, their health and any kind of mental capacity, or feel good about going into a job interview, then I'm all about that.
Exactly. So, it's so true. When you look good, you feel good.
Exactly. So, yep, definitely. I'll make them look pretty. You just help them feel pretty.
I will definitely try my best.
I think you do. I believe that you have helped me tremendously. So I believe that you help people, and I definitely appreciate what you do for all of us too.
Thank you. No, it's very rewarding work. I think we're both in the business of wanting people to feel better and be yes. happy and live their best lives.
Yes. Yes, I know I am. So, well, Bree, it was absolutely fabulous to have you on the program with me today. I hope you enjoyed
Thanks
yourself.
Thanks for having me.
And you are welcome back anytime you want to join.
Thanks,
and
Christine.
I will. If you're okay with it, we'll just post all your information on my webpage. So if they need a PA, if they're in the area, they'll know how to get a hold of you.
Yes, that's perfectly fine with me. Thank you.
Perfect. Well, thank you. You have a great rest of your day.
Thanks. You as well.
Thanks. Well, there you have it. That was Bree Green, a physician's assistant. She's here in Sheridan, Wyoming. If you need to look her up, you can find all of her information on my webpage. She works at One Health, and trust me, I absolutely love her. She is a great physician's assistant and has really helped me out in the last years. So check her out. You can also find my information on any of my social media platforms at thehairaffairwithchristine.com. Have a beautiful Sunday, and we'll talk again next week. Bye.